shot. He scores! And the Ballers win! Helena is no longer undefeated!
I'm not superstitious, but I am a little stitious.
Barons win! Barons win!
Cody Jansen stopped 92 out of 95 shots, including a penalty shot in overtime. Somehow he still only wound up the third star of the game.
You like that?
Jansen has a heart.
Y'all smoked it crack!
Another Wednesday, another World Hockey Report. What's going on? It's Cody Jansen. Could be live on Heavy Hockey Network, the best place for hockey content, Oilers content, and more. Be sure to support our sponsors, including the presenting sponsor of this show, Every Game Sportsbook. Use promo code WHR. Click on the link in our bio. Get a deposit bonus today. Every Game Sportsbook, the absolute best, along with our other friends, Pro Rock, SeatGeek, promo code WHR, and they're punching in $20 off your first ticket purchase. Sports Travel Tour is the best place to go watch sports. Quackstats, the most advanced player tracking technology, and the best report back stats. Been a long time supporter of World Hockey Report, and you know damn right we are supporting them. On the show, let's just get right to it. We got the big boys, the heavies, the Ice Wars, AJ Galante, and Daniel Amesbury. They're on the pod. Let's get to AJ right away. Amesbury's coming up next. It's World Hockey Report. It's Wednesday. We're having fun. We're hanging out, and we're coming to you live on Heavy Hockey Network. All right, AJ Galante, the man, joins me on World Hockey Report. What a weekend for you. I know you were buzzing, rough and rowdy, pardon me. Amesbury, Diamond Hands, steps up. You got to walk me through what that was like for you. That's got to be special.
Yeah, I mean, like we were saying off air, I mean, the Barstool guys had reached out to me about a month ago about doing some sort of appearance at Rough and Rowdy because it was going to be local in Providence, Rhode Island. And long story short, I kind of came up with the idea of, hey, listen, forget the appearance. Let's collab here. And, I knew a little bit about Rough and Rowdy, but not too much. And I started studying it. And I'm like, in a way, it's kind of like Ice Wars. They like their characters. They like 1-minute rounds. They like the action. I'm like, listen, why don't we do a joint bout here and we bring our heavyweight king out there to Providence since Amesbury's been here in Danbury playing for the hat tricks. And they love the idea. And like you said, he's been training in my boxing gym here, and he was ready to go, man. I tell you, a lot of those guys, you know, they kind of take it as a half a joke, the Rough and Rowdy stuff. But man, Ames came to fight. Like it was like a world title fight in Vegas or something. And we went in there, and I mean, you saw what he did. I mean, I think it was like 10 seconds maybe. And it was unreal. It was an unreal experience. And I tell you, the Rough and Rowdy, they run a great promotion. I'd never been to one, but they must have had 5,000 people in there. It was unreal. It was loud. It was nuts. Even Amesbury was like, I did not expect the crowd to be the way it was. And it's funny because when he walked out, you know, then I think they announced he was from Canada. So they all started booing him, you know. And then when we left, they were all loving. They were like, yeah, they all became fans. So it was the funniest thing in the world, you know, just when you see people just so quickly turn and they wanted to be his fan after that fight. It was nuts.
There was a lot of people doubting him, eh? Like, just the rumblings beforehand, everyone was just like, oh, hockey fighter, can't do it, not a boxer, yeah, whatever. How surprised were people? I know Witt and those guys were pretty impressed.
Well, listen, the reality is, you know, the Rough and Rowdy circuit, it's more entertainment-based. Don't get me wrong. These guys and girls are trying, right? Like, they're really fighting. But they're not like the mentally tuned boxing, you know, people. Yeah. So I think they just figured we were coming in and just going to flail around and stuff like that. But Ames is, I learned it going into the first Ice Wars. Ames is a very serious competitor, and he trains, and he spares no expense, by the way, too. I mean, he probably broke even after he won the big cash prize of, you know, in the first Ice Wars. That broke him even because he spent all that money going into camp, you know. And he's been training at my gym here, real technical. And he went in there. I didn't, Look, you never know. I mean, I know how hard he was training, but listen, anything could happen. He could get caught with a shot, and that could be it. The pressure was on us, you know? And I didn't expect it to go 10 seconds. And when he got that knockout, we were all just we were so happy. And all the Ice Wars boys were all in, like, a big group chat, so everyone was buzzing around. Everyone was so happy, and it was a big win for all of us.
You know what's funny? When I think back to the Amesbury Ice Wars one, the first time that we, you know, officially met him there, you would ask me beforehand, you said, you're a lacrosse guy. Like, what's the word around the street about this guy? Like, he's a lacrosse guy, whatever. Like, yeah. Everyone just says, great guy, but he's got killer instinct. And you're like, man, but he's got some tough matchups here in the heavyweights. But, like, that was that Ice Wars one where he's fighting the heavies. And so it's just funny to think back to, you know, where we thought of being like, yeah, this guy's good, but he's got a tough challenge, to being like, I don't know who's tougher. Was there anyone tougher at Rough and Rowdy?
Tougher than him? I don't think so. I mean, like I said, immediately after the fight, you know, the promoters, like, came up to me. They're like, oh, when can we get him back? And I'm like, listen, Ice Wars comes first, I said, but, you know, whatever's best. I told him, I said, listen, we wanna collaborate with you guys, and who knows, maybe Barstools will be interested in Ice Wars in the future. And I think it's a perfect marriage, honestly. And but no, I mean, Ames is already like, I want that belt. You know, he called out the champion. I guess his name is Bobby Lang or something. And I'm like, easy. Let's just take it one thing. But he's ready to start a camp tomorrow. And I tell you, Cody, this guy, so the Ice Arena in Danbury is 5 minutes down the road from my boxing gym. I mean, he walks from he goes to practice, comes here, trains, goes back. I mean, he's an animal. Honestly, I haven't seen anyone work as, and I'm just going to bring up trash names, but reminds me so much of Brad Wingfield and John Morassi in his work ethic. I mean, he just doesn't go to practice and goes home and hangs out. I mean, he gets bored. He comes here. He's hitting the bags. All the young kids love him here. You know, all the boxing kids love him. I mean, he just he's already asking me for a pro boxing match. You know what I mean? So I'm like, listen, let's just take it one thing at a time. But honest to God, combat sport wise, he's one of the most unique athletes I've ever seen. Because you hit it on the head. He's fought in hockey. He's fought in lacrosse. He's fought in Ice Wars on the synthetic ice. He's fought Rough and Rowdy now. I mean, he crosses over to anything, and he finds his way to, like you said, with his killer instinct, he finds a way to make it happen.
Yeah, I mean, give him 3 months, he'll probably be fighting UFC. Want to try that MMA style?
I'm waiting for that. I'm waiting for him to, you know. He was telling me about bare knuckle, and then he's like, you know, I would not be surprised if he tries to run the gauntlet. And I said, wait, listen, put on some weight. Let's try sumo wrestling while we're at it. Why not? Right. So, I mean, he's just a competitive guy, and it's not a game to him. He's like, he's the nicest guy in the world, but he has that switch, man. Like you said, that killer instinct. And it's hard to beat a guy like that.
It's almost impossible. I don't know the last time he's lost a fight. Even watching everything in the Fed, too. You know, like, he's up there with the best. But come on, last week was massive for Ice Wars again. Absolutely buzzing, trending on Twitter. Ice Wars 3 coming back March 4th in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Come on, what a place. Why Wyoming? Because I know about it. Now you're going to learn firsthand what they're like.
Well, I tell you the truth. I mean, so believe it or not, when we went to Edmonton those two times up in River Cree, which I love, by the way, and I'm pretty sure we'll be back in the near future. Really, the Wyoming Athletic Commission, the Combat Sport Commission, was really the first people to really kind of sanction us and give us a chance. You know what I mean? And they're the ones who I work with. One of their directors, Nick, and we put the rule books together. You know, they've just been so good to us, helping us kind of put this thing together from scratch. So we figured, listen, we got to show our loyalty to Wyoming, who was so good to us from the start. They sanctioned the first ever BKFC event, which now is blown up. So I said, listen, let's, you know, me, Charlie, the team are like, this is the perfect place to go. And it kind of fits everything we're looking to build. And I have a good feeling. I think we're going to have a great show out there. I really do.
So have you announced? Can we announce? Can we break some news? Where's the official facility going to be? Is it going to be in that big ass casino, or is it going to be in the actual community center rink?
So we're actually going to do our first on ice, like legit ice, you know, I think it's the Ice and Rec Center, I think they call it, or something like that. Charlie was telling me the other day, but it is going to be on real ice, which again is something different we haven't done before. Like I said, every event's going to be different. Sometimes we'll be in the synthetic ice, which guys actually like, and then, you know, on regular ice too. So it's going to be, it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm really looking forward to it. I'm literally working on the actual event card as we speak. We're going to have a middleweight King of the Ring tournament. So 155 to 175. Our number one, the only middleweight we have on record right now was Dustin Thompson from last event from Edmonton. He's our number one. Yeah. So he's coming. I know we're going to have him locked in to come down. I tell you what, Cody, it's been harder. The first show, we only had a small pool of guys to choose from. Now, you know, every day, 3, 4, 5 different people want to join. And it's tough because, you know, to grow the sport, you want to bring returning people, fan favorites, et cetera. But at the same time, you want to introduce fresh faces. So it's getting a little tougher now because, you know, you want to please everyone. You want everyone to come back. And hopefully a year from now, if we have the budget, we do an all weekend event where everyone can fight. But I tell you, man, it's getting tougher. We're getting a lot of pretty heavy resumes, and guys are knowing, and even girls. We just don't have a big enough. I mean, eventually, I'm sure we're going to have a female division at some point because I'm getting them sporadically. Yeah, but no, it's going to be. I feel a lot of pressure for this event, being the first one in the States, and wanting to put on a good show for Wyoming, who've been so good to us. So. It's going to be fun. I have a really good feeling. The middleweights, you know, they got a lot to live up to because the cruiserweight bouts last event were insane. I mean, you think about I still think about that Travis Check, Malcolm Humert fight in the first round. Where
was that first fight of the night? Was that first fight of the night?
It was. I think it was the second. But, I mean, it was like – it was unreal. It was, I mean, I still think about that fight. And unfortunately, Checker had to kind of withdraw from the tournament because thankfully he didn't break his hand, but there were some issues. And, but again, it's a promoter's dream because now there's a lot of unanswered questions. You know, if Check was able to keep going, how would the tournament panned out? So we got some stuff we're working on and we'd love to bring him back. Obviously, I'd love to get him back. You know, he's a fan favorite and like a reincarnation of Ty Domi, to be honest with you. I mean, he's electric, that kid.
And he's tearing up the North Central Hockey League right now. He is terrorizing guys. And the funniest part too, is, you know what? He's 5'7" and guys are just scared shitless of him. It's funny.
I mean, half his body weight is his head. He's got a big head on him. And the thing is, it's like, he's got that, just like John Morassi, he's got that chiseled head. Like it's like hitting it's like hitting stone. I mean, who wants to fight a guy like that? Even in 4 ounce gloves. I mean, he is just one of those guys that's gonna, if I said it's 7 minute rounds, he's gonna go all 7 minutes, just nonstop. I mean, he's just that's a tough matchup for anybody. So so like I said, you know, Wyoming, we got the middleweight tournament. Obviously, we're going to sprinkle in single bouts, different weight classes. You know, we got to kind of build up the heavyweight division. We got a lot of super heavies. Not set in stone, but I'm looking to, you know, we're hoping to do for the fourth show a big super heavyweight tournament, which would be huge. I mean, there's a lot of things in this third show that's going to have implications for, you know, show four and hopefully beyond.
Last one for you. I know you're around the hockey scene now. Is fighting officially back? Because, I mean, we all see it in the Fed. Everyone's now got a line of heavies. But also, you see it NHL down. Fighting seems to be on the rise. It seems to be a little bit more popular versus a year or two ago when I thought we were going to the whole, you know, Michigans and through the legs hockey.
You know, I don't know, man. Like you said, I guess I'm kind of back, kind of not. It's weird. I've gotten the itch. I tell you, since the Netflix thing started, you know, even before it came out, the documentary, when they were filming it, you know, it was such a tough time for me when we lost the Trashers. I just completely, it was like going through a bad breakup. I stopped watching hockey. I kind of like 2 years ago started getting back into it, and it was so different. And I don't know, man. You see it a lot. Like, you know, you're starting to see it again. And I would like to see even just the NHL's funny, man. It's like you can't be half pregnant. You either want fighting or you don't. You know what I mean? You don't want to, like, highlight the fighting, yet you won't outright just, like, ban it. You know what I mean? So to me, it was just like in the UHL with the Trashers. Especially the lower level leagues, it's entertainment too. You have to have that level of entertainment. And I think the Federal Hockey League, honestly, even though I have nothing directly to do with it, I think they've been smart enough to realize, hey, let's pick up some of these ice war type guys, and it becomes an attraction thing. So if it makes the NHL mad, I'd love to keep doing what I'm doing, because what's going to end up happening is people are going to want to see that again. And, like I tell people, we're not hockey. We're prize fighting on ice. So it drives the hockey people nuts because they know I'm right. But at the same time, it's like, you know, if it looks like a duck, it quacks like a duck. You know what I mean? So it drives some of these new age hockey people crazy. And I tell them, hey, we're not hockey, man. We don't have pucks, sticks, goals. So you can't call us hockey fights, you know? So it's funny, man. But it's the Federal League is getting exciting. You know, Ames is running around like a nut job. He's averaging like 18 minutes a game. You know, Schmitty is no walk in the park. He's our other king. And, you know, hopefully they'll just keep growing, because what happens is if you stack your team up, not even stack, if you have some tough guys on your team, your opponents by default are going to have to get guys like that. You know what I mean? It's monkey see, monkey do. So hopefully, you know, it starts in the Federal League and keeps snowballing.
Hey, attendances are up. Viewers online's up for the Fed. They're doing something right. We'll give them credit. AJ, man, I appreciate you taking the time. Ice Wars 3, March 2023 in Wyoming. It's a must-see event. Diamond Hands, Daniel Amesbury, the hottest fighter in the world right now. AJ, take care, buddy. Appreciate you hopping on.
Anything you need, Cody. You're the best. Thanks, brother.
Daniel Amesbury, Diamond Hands, is on the show after a big rough and rowdy victory. You got to walk me through, like, how does this first come about? And then what's the lead up like to the weekend?
Yeah. So, I mean, it kind of started out. Yeah. I guess when Portnoy kind of discovered the documentary with AJ, I guess is where it all started. And then, you know, AJ ended up working his magic and worked out a little bit of a deal with Rough and Rowdy and ended up sliding me in there. So it happened really quick. I feel like it was maybe 10 days or something that we had, or it felt like that anyways. And then next thing you know, I'm fighting at this event. And yeah, it happened really fast, but it was definitely AJ's doing. He got it all set up, and, you know, it kind of starts with the documentary, I think, which is great. So.
Was there some nerves? Like, you're a mindset guy. You obviously are a confident dude stepping into that ring. Were you of the mindset of like, hey, this is something new, this is something different, I could be in trouble here? Or are you going into it thinking, I'm connecting on the first three and that's it?
Yeah, like, I was going in, like, I go in the same way every time, no matter what it is, you know. I'm always confident. I always keep my head in the right space. But, I mean, the whole reason I like fighting in the first place is the challenge mentally and, like, the battle of overcoming yourself. So it doesn't matter how confident you are, how good you're feeling, the ebbs and flows are still going to come. The anxiety is going to come in waves. There's no way. It doesn't matter who you're fighting or if you think it's going to be easy or not. I think the biggest thing for me was I felt like there was more on the line for me, because if I lose, then it's, you know, like, I felt like some people from my world were expecting me to win. So I felt like I had Ice Wars on my shoulders and I had, like, hockey on my shoulders, and I didn't want to let anybody down. So I was feeling a lot of pressure in that sense. But at the same time, like I say, I keep myself as composed as I can, and I try and focus on the mindset stuff. So, but it did come, you know, just like any fight, you'll feel the anxieties and the emotions before the fight. So
you had the weight of the Fed on your shoulders.
Yeah, exactly.
So, okay, after though,
You know, we saw the interviews, we saw everything. Bobby Lang, that's who's the next target, or is there someone bigger in the picture here?
Well, Bobby Lang, I think, is the step, you know, step at a time right now. So, I mean, I do have a big plan for an end game that we're working towards, but I'll keep that in my back pocket until the right time to talk about it. But Bobby Lang is kind of the guy right now. I've set my target on him, and, you know, hopefully I can get a shot at fighting him as soon as possible. You know, not sure what Rough and Rowdy has in store, but at the end of the day, like, I had a great time. It was an awesome event. It was super cool to be a part of. It was a really cool collaboration between Ice Wars and Rough and Rowdy. So I'm hoping that we can collaborate again, and, you know, we can maybe, you know, get some future, maybe get some Rough and Rowdy characters at our Ice Wars events and go back and forth. I think it's great for both shows. So.
Well, I don't think Bobby Lang's hoping to see you in a ring. I think that's one thing that we could make pretty damn clear after your first appearance there. And I know you've always said dream fight. Is it Jake Paul or Logan Paul? Which one's the boxer? I always forget.
Honestly, anyone in that kind of category.
Okay. But has it changed then, or is that still the dream fight? I love asking.
No, that'll still be there one day, I think. But at the end of the day, like, you know, it's one step at a time. I have a goal in mind. We're kind of starting. It's kind of now starting to be a game plan. Me and AJ are starting to get the wheels turning, and there's starting to be a little bit more of a game plan now. So we just got to kind of take one step at a time and see where it takes us. And, you know, you know how I am with my mindset and stuff. Like, in my head, all these things that I want to happen have already happened. And I'm like supreme confidence that they're happening the way they need to and stuff like that. So I just keep myself in that space and keep working hard and just keep going through the motions and what I'm going through. And all these things will just fall into place when they're ready to fall into place.
Man, I love it. What's the night after though? Like, obviously you weren't going too hard. If you're coming back and playing in Danbury the next day and throwing down twice, like, what's that transition like for you?
Yeah, I mean, we kept it pretty light on Friday night. Like, I went out for Mexican food and kind of hung out with Simon and Charlie.
What's your go-to Mexican order?
Well, I was actually a little bit late, so I actually ran. Charlie and Simon were already eating, so I called them when I was leaving the hotel. I just got back and did the family thing, put the kids to bed, and then I called Simon and Charlie, and I just said, order me whatever. But they did get me fish tacos, which is probably what I would have gone with anyways.
Love it.
So yeah, but I literally ran from the hotel to the Mexican place because I was so hungry.
That's awesome. And then just quick turnaround day, like, you aren't going out and drinking 1,000 beers after. You're like, you know what, my team's got a game, I'm gonna go do a job, and you know, that's yeah. Where you end up right next day.
Yeah, so I mean, we had a couple beers at food, that's about it, and then it was off to bed. I think I had a late night pizza that night, and then it was back. We left in the morning, stayed at the hotel that night, and then left in the morning to get back to Danbury. And then, you know, they had a little bit of a little cool ceremony for my opening, or for when I got there. They started, put me in the starting lineup and had me come out last, and then they played the fight. It was pretty cool that they had that going on. And then so that Billy had it set up where I was playing center. And then he had the four biggest guys on our team out there with me. And he's like, listen, Ames, he's like, I don't even want you to take the opening faceoff. He's like, I just want you to stare at their other team. And he's like, and then we're going to line up all the other four guys behind you, and they're just going to be staring at their other team, at their team, like in formation. And I'm kind of like thinking like, whoa, that's insane. He's like, I don't even care. They can win the faceoff. So that was our plan. And then as soon as I get out there, you know, like, we're kind of lining up and it's the four of us are, and I look over and they got their guy that they had running around the night before. And so I kind of just gave him a look and I said, you know, whenever you're ready, you know, I'm here, whatever time you want to get it over with, get it over with. And then he just jumped the boards and came out. So I was like, all right, well, I guess we're just going to do it right away. So, so then I think he took the face off and I let him win it. And then, we went right off the draw. And then, it's just how it went. I think we went one more time later in the game too. So hats off to that guy, man. Like, I really give people a lot of respect for fighting me in this league. Cause I do truly feel like I'm just on another level. I'm just so confident. And, I know these guys are showing up and fighting me, and I respect it a lot. I remember being that guy, you know, I remember being the guy that went up against the guy where I was like, I don't know why I'm doing this, but I'm going to do it every time. So I you got to have respect for guys like that. So it was really cool. I love sharing the ice with guys like that. So.
Well, it's kind of a cool transition for you where, I mean, you're playing in the old Central League, you know, what, 10 years ago? Like, how has the pro game changed and evolved? And maybe it's a little different from a tough guy perspective where there's just less of them out there. But what's it like for you being back in the pro hockey scene?
It's changed a lot. I mean, I think you guys seen it. You know, my first two games, I had massive hits and you know, I ended up getting suspended. Yeah, I ended up getting suspended on both of them, you know, like – the first one was definitely a clean hit. Like I had the refs tell me after the game, it was clean, no problem. But I got suspended, I guess, just because it was because the guy got hurt. And then the next game, they said it was late in the Central League when I played. That's a clean hit. So I guess if that's a late hit, then the game's changing. You know, I guess they're saying now you got to play the puck. Priority is playing the puck, which, you know, like we've all been taught our whole life, you have 3 seconds, which I know that that's changed, but then it's gone 2 seconds, then it's gone 1 second. Like I would say that was 1 second. So, I mean, the game's changed in that sense where there's guys not necessarily getting absolutely rocked. You can pretty much cut the middle with your head down and not have to worry about getting killed these days. And then as far as like the actual skill of the game, like I feel like it's just more, you're getting way more dangles. It's just the same thing as the NHL. It's like, it's way more, I guess you can say, a skilled game now. Like guys have way better hands. I mean, if you compare the Fed then to the Fed now, way more skilled players as far as hands and just skating ability and stuff like that. You know, it was such a meat and potatoes game when I left, and then I came back and it's just like some of the stuff that guys are doing in these games now and the coach isn't yelling at him. I'm kind of like looking over like, dude, the guy just tried toe dragging a guy leaving the zone and he didn't get yelled at. Like, what the hell is going on here? Like, but it's just, that's just what's happening now. It's bizarre. But yeah, the game's changed quite a bit. Like I said, it's a little bit of a culture shock for me. You know, I've even talked to some of the refs about it. I'm like, hey, like, you know, you throw me a little bit of a bone here. Like, it's like, you know, what is it? I've been frozen for 30 freaking years, you know, throw me a bone. Like I have been out of the game for that long, you know, give me a break here. I was expecting one thing. So I think I'm adjusting well now. But it's fun, man. Like just being back and being with the boys and getting the experience of playing hockey again. I'm really grateful for every conversation I'm having with the team and every moment I'm really taking, I'm taking in and enjoying. Whereas, you know, when you're young and you've never had to miss the game before, you kind of take those things for granted. So I'm just trying to share that as much as I can with my team and just let them know that, man, I didn't have this game for a long time. And I went through a lot of stuff because I didn't have this game. And now that I have it again, I'm really grateful. So I'm trying to let all the younger guys know that, like, you got to be grateful for every moment you have here because you really never know when it's going to end. So
what's it like seeing some of these ice warriors getting into the Fed and stuff like that? Like obviously Justin Schmitz in Columbus, Patty Wax now in Carolina. I think Justin Smoke's going to be the next one who will probably end up finding himself a team here. Like, do you think that Ice Wars and AJ have given some guys a platform to get into pro hockey, to get back into pro hockey? Because it seems like teams are looking at that and being like, that's how we're scouting now.
Well, 100%. And like, I think there is like a resurgence of the tough guy right now. Like you're seeing it. I mean, there's even more fighting in the NHL right now than there was, yeah, you know, in the last few years or whatever. So I think that it is. It's like, I keep saying it, man. Like Ice Wars is the LinkedIn for hockey fighters. You know, like think about it, you know, especially when a guy like me comes in, like I kind of flipped the league upside down as soon as I got here. So now other teams are like, okay, well, what are you going to do? Usually it's kind of, especially nowadays, tough to find another tough guy. Well, go watch The Last Ice Wars. It's easy now. Like you got a ton of guys that are ready and able. So I think it's great. You know, I like seeing it. I think it's good for the league. It's good for the fans. And, you know, like I think the Federal League's got some things figured out. You know, I think the structure of the league is set up in a way where I think it can grow and there's going to be more teams wanting to be a part of it and a lot and more owners that want to be a part of it. And I think that the best thing for it is bringing a little bit of old time hockey back and getting more fans in the building. So I think it's great for the league, and it's great for Ice Wars because, you know, you got these guys on the ice all the time. They're going to be in better shape. You know, at the end of the day, the biggest reason I came down to play was I wanted to be skating and I wanted to be on the ice more. So I'm in better shape for Ice Wars and just have my skating ability back. And I'm just a better overall fighter. So.
Well, and a quick note on that as well. I won't drop into story time, but I talked to one of the skilled guys who's in the Fed right now, and he says he feels a million times safer playing in the Fed versus the SP. He says in the SP, there was no retribution for guys running around. You know, there was teams that had four skilled lines that gone is the days of toughness, gone is the days of the unity in the team, the defense, you know, stuff like that. Where in the Fed, at least there is someone who is going to stick up for you. And that's, you know, an aspect that I respect, obviously, being an Ice Wars guy through and through. But Ice Wars 3 is coming to Wyoming March 2023 next year. I see the grin on your face. You're happy for it. What was your first thoughts? Like, have you ever been to Wyoming? Because that's a tough country right there.
No, I haven't been to Wyoming, but it's cool for me because I used to be in Denver with when I was with the Cutthroats, so it's not very far from Denver. So I'll get some fans coming over, and then I got, you know, the Scott Parker and his crew will probably be coming, and I'll probably do some a little bit of my training camp with them as well in Denver before I get to Wyoming. So I'm really excited. I haven't been to Wyoming. I've always liked cowboys, and I've always liked those kind of people. So I know they're badass people from out there. So I think Ice Wars will be right up their alley. So.
When I was playing juniors down there, some of the toughest kids, and again, they were not great at skating, but our best fourth liners, our glue guys that could chuck them, kids from Montana and Wyoming. I don't know. There's something else in the water there. I love that. Okay, I got to leave this one, though. Who's your dream match? Is it a rematch with Derek Parker? Is there someone else you're eyeing for Ice Wars?
Oh, for Ice Wars, honestly, I don't even know. I haven't even really had time to obviously it was Morasty, but I don't think that's going to happen. So,
Not yet. I'm still losing faith into that. Ice Wars fans are.
Honestly, I mean, at the end of the day, that's the one that I would always want. So, I can't really even think about anybody else. Honestly, like the thing is for me is I want the toughest competition, and the one thing for me is I really don't feel like I've ever had, even in lacrosse, like I've had opportunities to fight some of the toughest guys in lacrosse and they just wouldn't fight me, where it's almost like,
the toughest guys, Ames. They're not the toughest guys. Pass the torch.
I know, but the way they were always, you know, like Paul Dawson and stuff like that. Like I played him and he wouldn't fight me. It's like, dude, pass the torch. Like, you know what I mean? Like fight me. So when I win, it's like everybody knows, but I never got to get solidified off of that. So I always wanted a fight like that. So Morasty, that's kind of the thing. It's like, I've always wanted him to pass the torch. And if it's not him, it'd be great to see somebody else that was kind of on that level. That was a big name. I know there's a few guys out there that are kind of poking their heads around, but yeah, man, at the end of the day, for me, like just whatever's the best for the Ice Wars promotion. And like I say, I'll fight anybody. I don't care who or where they're from or what sort of fighter they are. I'm buzzing right now. I'm in a spot where it's, I don't know, man. It's going to be hard to beat me. So.
Hey, you're flying high. You're one of the biggest in the game right now. I see the AJ Galante poster and Jimmy behind you. I know you're at the gym. I know you're ready to go rock a session. I'll let you go, man. Yeah. Hey, I appreciate you taking the time as always. Best of luck, and we'll be in touch.
Awesome. Thank you. I'll talk to you later.